Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Deja Barnes, a renowned author, speaker, workshop host, founder, and CEO of Mirror Management, assisting mothers on their healing journey through identifying, assessing, and addressing secondhand emotions and replacing them with a loaf of bread to keep their spirit fed. Deja, such a pleasure having you on the show today. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you for having me in your space as well.
So anything that has to do with mothers, I jump on board and I want to learn all about it. And the fact that it's a nonprofit, guess what? I'm like even more excited to interview and learn about what motivated you to start a nonprofit and how you started it. What inspired you most importantly?
The inspiration pretty much came from working with women my whole life and being a woman as well, and knowing that we have certain things that we really want to accomplish. And so a lot of the times we are extremely passionate about what it is that we want and what it is that we are willing to do. And so I noticed with myself and a bunch of different other women that I served, I was like, wow, you know, we work through our pain. And the pain, you know, people turn their pain into passion. And I was like, but what happens if we actually address that pain and then we actually heal through it? Then we actually are able to like love without limits. I love how love feels. Like, I just love how love feels. So being the fact that like I'm a lover of love, I'm just like, you know what? What if everybody could just have this love and they could just love people? And I was like, you know, people might not take to this. And then I was like, you know what? It may not form well as a nonprofit because they're going to be like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And so I just started like doing research and finding out. And I'm like, I got to take this class and I got to take that class in order to make this happen, because I really want to be able to assist mothers in identifying their secondhand emotions and then the window of opportunity opening again so that they may be able to pull that out and recreate.
That's amazing. Now, are you a mother yourself?
I am, times four.
Oh my, four. You look so young to have four kids. Wow, wow. Tell me, what do you have?
I have a balance, two girls and two boys. And my oldest are girls and my youngest are boys, and they are absolutely different. Oh. So I'm enjoying it because I'm right now I'm in teenagehood and infant at the same time. So it's
you know. Me too. Oh, wow. Yeah. We need to talk separately about that. I have a 3.5-month-old baby. So it's a lot of,
riding the waves. You're growing. Listen, that's the title of my workbook. If it ain't one thing to grow through, it's another. You're growing. You're riding the waves and just day by day, sometimes hour by hour.
Wow, constantly. So tell me about writing. You know, you're an author. Tell me about that. I'm so curious. I've been wanting to dabble into writing for so long, but I always thought I'm not a good writer. English is my third language. I can't do that. So it's very inspiring for me to hear how you pursue writing.
When I was younger, I started writing. There would be everything that I would see, I would write about it. And so I like had a bunch of journals, like tons and tons and tons of journals. And one day my aunt, she saved a journal from when I was a younger child. And I said to myself, I said, hey, what are you doing with this? And she's like, oh, I saved it. You were in like second grade. And I was like, oh, second grade. Yeah, that was a great year. And now I was like talking all kind of junk in that book. I was mad at my mom, my aunties, everybody was in there that was present at the time. So, but I was just like, wow, this is very detailed. Yeah. And the details that I put in it, I was just like, I can appreciate this. And so I just started writing. And every time I would get upset, and I didn't know that this was something that was more therapeutic than anything for me, but every time I would get upset, I would write. I would be so upset and I would just write and I was just writing. And then now I have like 75 books of anger. And then it's like, oh, I'm going back and I'm recapping. Yeah. Oh, well, what did I do when I was upset at that time? What did I do? You know, those type of things. So it was important, but it was a great experience to see and to feel that writing was something that I actually enjoyed to do. And then I switched it around and I was like, well, what about if I write when I'm feeling love? Like when I'm feeling like really excited and the next best thing is happening for me. What if I write when I, you know, what if I write at that point? And then I started doing it. And then I was like, oh, wow. So I can write through all these different emotions. And then I was like, how do I take myself to this space? What gets me to this place? How do I, you know, identify certain situations? And that's, you know, writing was one of my therapy techniques that I didn't even know that it was a technique because I had been doing it since I can remember. And so that's pretty much what led me to being an author. And then personal experience, you know, living poverty and all those different types of things, and deciding that I didn't want my children to live in poverty and those type of things, you know, experience, being a professional doer, those type of things. I was like, okay, I'm going to write because I want to help other people. You know, sometimes you can hear a story and then you'll be like, you know what? I heard of this happening. I want to make sure that I don't walk in these footsteps.
Exactly. It's crazy how motherhood shapes us and makes us so much better as human beings. You know, and not just makes us more, you know, efficient. I mean, I feel like I've, since my third child, the 3.5-month-old that I have right now, I had to become super efficient and start saying no to a lot of things because I realized that I can't do it all. I can't be everywhere. And I'm kind of loving it because now I have an excuse to say no. You know, and that was one of my biggest challenges when people asked me for help or needed me to attend something or be somewhere. It was always yes, yes, yes. And I realized that a lot of my time is being wasted, not wasted necessarily, but it's not going towards me. And so,
absolutely.
Time, how do you manage it all? How do you manage 4 kids and writing and then your management, you know, your nonprofit? It's a lot to do.
It is. But what I've come to understand now is time management, saying no and standing in no, and no is a complete sentence. Like, you know, sometimes we feel guilty. We feel like, oh, no, because, and no is a complete sentence. It's just that, you know? And so actually standing and using my voice and saying no to a lot of different things helped me save a bunch of times, just like you just stated, but get it on the schedule. Like I have alarm clocks. I have alarm clocks that go off all the time. Listen. And it's important because, like, also with having 4 children and single parenthood, you know, I didn't choose that, but that is, you know, the walk that I am living in. So I have to maximize that. And 4 children, you know, one child may feel experience of I am lacking in this area, and then they want mommy. And so creating one-on-one times every single, you know, month with that, with each child, you know, to where they have at least an hour doing something that they like to do with only me. So even having that time scheduled on the calendar and then having my one-on-ones. And so after everything, I try to take at least a 20-minute just breather to where I'm just deep breath in and out. And I reminded myself of all the things that I'm grateful for. When I wake up, you know, I pray, I drink a lot of water, I read, and I'm like, today is going to be the day that it's supposed to be. And then I just kind of like, you know, whatever I, because there's some times where some things will, you know, rock the boat and allow an imbalance. And that's where I have to say, I understand that I'm experiencing this in this moment, but this is not, you know, how I'm going to allow the rest of my day to be. And so I always say, don't let anyone that didn't create the day make the day. So
ooh, I like that. Hold on. I repeat that again. I love that. Don't let anyone
that didn't create the day make the day. I try to tell my children that all the time. And I say it to them, like every time they leave, I say, hey, you know, how's today going? And they're like, oh, if for anyone who didn't create the day, they won't make my day.
Oh, she's so cute. You're so cute. You want to be on our show? Awesome.
It's like, hello. So, but yeah, that's the goal.
That's amazing. And you know, I deal with a lot of women who are mothers and they're trying to run their own companies. And a lot of times they'll ask me, you know, or they want to start a company. Usually the ones that want to start a company, they'll wonder how to juggle it all. And I feel like having somewhat of an organized a system in place that that is almost integrated with, because a lot of women think that they have to, they can just do the 9 to 5 with their business and then be able to juggle kids. But with a business, that does not exist. We're working all the time. We're working any opportunity I get. My laptop is with me. I can be in the car when I drop off my girls to school and pull over and send an email really quickly. Or I could be waiting for them at dance and just working in the car again, or dance studio, whatever, anywhere and everywhere is where my work goes. And, you know, in the beginning, I remember wanting to separate it so that I could have this like very organized sort of structured day. And then I realized I can't. And what I love about it is simply that I don't have to be structured. I'm going to be flexible, like, you know, just smooth like water. And flow and just do it when I can. And then it's less stressful. And tell me a little bit about that. How do you juggle? I mean, obviously, you know, scheduling and God, alarm clocks are my saviors. I even have an alarm clock for my infant to feed him. Otherwise, I'll forget. And then sometimes he gets cranky. Sometimes he doesn't. So it's really challenging. But in terms of, you know, how much time do you dedicate to your nonprofit? And then, you know, how do you make sure that is the nonprofit the only way you're, like I have two different companies, right, to support my family. And so I have to juggle my time between the two companies and then the kids and the family and the husband and so on. So I would love to know how you kind of just organize it all.
I have designated time to each business. So also with mirror management, you know, it's that portion, but then there's also where I have to be writing because these workbooks and these books, and then, you know, my children, introducing them to entrepreneurship as writers as well. So my children, they have to rest every day by 8 o'clock. Yeah. And so when they rest at eight o'clock, those 2 hours I'm doing business. And that's just what it is. And sometimes I have my infant and I'm like breastfeeding at the same time. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to breastfeed because
makes it easier.
My breasts leak as a reminder. Hey, it's time to feed, you know, it's time to feed. So, you know, that's also the beauty in, you know, just flowing. And then I create every night before I go to bed, I create a goal, and my goals consist of for the week so that I pace it out so that I don't feel like I have to get this done Monday. I have to get this. And, you know, when I don't do it, I say I did enough. And if I overdo it, I say I need a break. And when I need a break, I acknowledge it to everyone. Listen, guys, I need a moment. And they have to understand that, because also they need moments as well. Like the 13-year-old, she'll say, I need a moment. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I need a moment. I just want to go get my feet done. I want to eat this food. And I just want to have a moment where I get to breathe for myself. And that's fine. And so sometimes for me, that's like a hot bath. And then, you know, sometimes when I'm in a hot bath and I have laptop in there and I'm doing something sometimes beforehand, I'm sitting on the floor and I'm checking emails, sending all the emails out, printing out postal stamps and everything. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to invest this hour in the bathroom, in the bathtub for this time. I'm not going to do anything else. But sometimes, you know, when you take 2 hours in the bathroom, one of them is consisted of, you know, work. But just knowing that, setting that goal out, what are you, you know, that 6 weeks, what do you need to have done in 6 weeks? What do you need to have done in a month? And, you know, in order to make sure the revenue is coming in, you know, you have to like a weekly look at, okay, how much did I make? How many people visited the site? And I look at this every week and I take every Sunday 2 hours to look at that type of stuff just to see where I can increase certain things and see where I can become better. But that's, you know, 2 hours in the evening time. And so sometimes I'm sleepy. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll invest one when I rise up, because you can easily miss some numbers or miscalculate or anything. So, you know, just setting a schedule around that, just, you know, being in constant review. And for me, constant review personally, financially, spiritually, that all is in alignment. And it comes full circle for your business and everything of just, you know, growing that spiritual loaf of bread, that love, that loyalty, that opportunity, that optimism, that awareness, that accepting things for what they are, that forgiveness, and having the faith that, you know, this business is going to be exactly what it is that you desire it to be.
I love that. And speaking of review, you know, my marketing agency, we're very data driven. Everything we do, we have to pause every week for our clients and review the data to see where we can optimize it. And we cut a lot of the things that don't work. And I started applying that to my life as well, where I, you know, I'll write the reviews on, you know, on the board or in my notebook. I'll write the goals, right? And then I'll try to accomplish it. And then I'll go back to those goals and say, well, I did this. Did it really get me closer? Because sometimes you think certain things will get you closer to your main goal, whatever it is that you want to accomplish that quarter or month or whatever. But then you realize either halfway through or once you're done, it was a waste of time. So you want to make sure you notate, review, so that you don't repeat the same mistake twice. And I think that's genius. Honestly, I thought we only do that in marketing, but it's really impressive to hear that you do it as well. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about how you started, like just the actions you took to get mirror management started. Like obviously the inspiration was there, but then you had to execute it and make it happen.
Execution is important. So the idea came. So what I did was I started joining in like different organizations because I'm like, I want to find out, I need to get up under an organization, a non-for-profit. I need to see how they work. I need to see how they go. I want to. And then I was just really excited as well. So I started joining stuff like the National Parent Leadership Training Institution. So I'm like, okay, I want to be a great parent. I know how to be a good parent. How can, you know, that benefit the community? And it's kind of up the, you know, same alley. And so what they did was they actually taught me different structures. Wow. Of business. And then they're like, okay, so, but then after they taught me that, they kind of like, you know, let me on my own. And I was like, okay, glad that you taught me this. Where do I go now? And so I just started utilizing Google. It's because I didn't have, and I couldn't afford in the moment, the coach, you know. Sometimes we do need coaches, and sometimes when you can't afford it, you are like the everything. You are like CEO, you're the marketing. And that's pretty much, even though now I have a little more support, is like I was the CEO, the marketing, the consistency of everything, plus, you know, sometimes sleepless nights in order to make sure that this business goes where it needs to go. And I was like, that was pretty much me. So you're kind of taking one of my jobs now. And, you know, once you are consistent, because you find out the difference of whether it worked or it didn't work. And I always say that it's a lesson. I learned something from everything. It didn't work because why? Right. Okay, now here's the solution because of that. And so after doing that, I started joining like SCORE. They were free mentors, places where I could just try to get some support. So SCORE was very, very beneficial. And then, I'm like, okay, where else do I, Chamber of Commerce. I'm like, okay, these are places where I'll, you know, begin to start out. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I just need to sign up to all these different organizations. And believe it or not, I've learned most of these places from the library.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so just utilizing, you know, and then getting in paper and saying, this is my goal. I want to reach 100,000 women through this not-for-profit. How do I do it? Wow. Okay. I want to do it in 15 years. Okay, I want to do this in 15 years. Okay, this will be 7,000, almost 700 women per year. So how do I execute with that? Who do I go and speak to? In order, you know, do the radio shows? Do I, you know, Facebook and Instagram ads? Then I review them weekly to see, oh, my reels are working now. Okay, and so a part of the not-for-profits is the financial portion. It's donations. You know, people are giving. And so now you have to go and say, you know, it's almost like going on Shark Tank and saying, hey, this is why I think you should give me some money, because my organization serves women. And, you know, your target area for me, mine was women in, you know, poverty. Why? Because I understand both ends of it. Like, I understand when you don't have no food and you're hungry and you got family problems as well. And these family problems were addressed 3 issues ago, you wouldn't be hungry right now. So certain things, you know, certain things like that. And just writing that down, the, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, SCORE, Small Business Association, all of these different things, I just started reaching out. Like, where do I go? What do I do? And they helped me structure it. And I knew I didn't have enough money. Like, I knew I have a lot of children. And so.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3. SoCalArmenian.com.